For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It sucks. We're down, like, you know, like you said, Malik and Kevin. So we're going to, our normal shooters aren't there. And like Domas is struggling a little bit because like he played a lot of DHO with Kevin and Malik. So definitely missing that a lot.
Whereas if we were to play the Lakers and then lose, even though we swept them this season, that would hurt a lot more. So yeah, we'll see what happens, man. But I'm hey, Jamie, all about the final boss theory. What's up?
I'm not trying to get LeBron in the refs in any playing game.
Oh, like, you already know.
They've also gotten better in ways because defensively, like, we're what, I think like 15th overall for the whole season, which we didn't even crack the top 20, I don't think, at all last season. So defensively, we've gotten better.
Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings cast. It's Daily, joined by my co-pilots, Naima and Liz. How are you all?
What's up, y'all?
Let's get started. First quarter, Pels blitzed the Kings early for a 23-point lead. Kings cut it down to 11. Pels end the quarter up 34-23. Second quarter, Domas battles for a tip-in put-back. Zion leaves with a left finger injury. HB and Sabonis do this beautiful pick and roll for the and one for Domas. Pels up 64-58 to end the half. My co-pilots, what are your takeaways?
I mean, this is like the same shit we've seen all year with this team against the Pelicans. The Pelicans just, they're lengthy, they can get in the passing lanes, they play tough defense, and they throw us off of our rhythm, you know, getting into our offense. And it doesn't matter who's on the court because, you know, we've had the games with Herter there, we've had games with Monk there, and we just cannot seem to figure this fucking team out. I mean, their defense is just absolutely an issue for us for whatever reason. And that's just what they continue to do tonight. That's why they were able to go on such a big run in that first quarter. But, you know, props to the team. I mean, you know, they fought back, you know, they adjusted, played some tough defense, and then, you know, made their way, you know, to a comeback, and to go down only 6 into halftime is pretty impressive. They probably would have just rather continue playing the game because unfortunately halftime, I think, hurt them, you know, with all the momentum that they had. But yeah, just I mean, you got to do what you got to do to get as close as you can. And that's what they did. Fox, you know, did his thing. I thought Trey Lyles came off the bench and provided some really good minutes. Davion Mitchell, same. I mean, he's been doing it, you know, pretty much since January. He's been coming off the bench and, you know, just absolutely thriving in his role right now. So, you know, shout out to those guys. Harrison Barnes has a really good night, was being super aggressive, you know, getting to the basket, getting to the free throw line, things like that. So, I mean, that's kind of all you can ask, getting down 23 and making it a game at halftime.
Yeah, Liz said it best. I mean, it's extremely hard to go down 23 points and, like, you know, try to crawl to the finish line, you know, call yourself back into the game. But it's extremely tough. I'll just say that To add on, like, it's just really great to see, like, Davion after the All-Star break, like, him just playing extremely well, him shooting well from three. I'm very happy for him. It's also good to have Sasha back. I wish he played some more in the game than the minutes he's getting. I'm not sure if they're having him play, you know, limited minutes because he just came back from injury. But, I mean, yeah, that first quarter just did the Kings in, and it seemed like they just couldn't recover from that.
I mean, it's a tough battle when your so-called must-win game that starts off your three-game gauntlet at the end of the season is against a team that already beat you five times. They literally have our number, period. We are down Herter. We are down Malik Monk. And we all know this game might be a little closer with Malik Monk. I'm not saying he's the answer, but De'Aaron's literally the only person that can create his own shot. And then, yeah, I know Davion can get to his spots at times and blow by people at times. But again, once he goes into the trees, he'll usually get blocked like he did tonight, at least one time, as I recall. So, yeah, it was tough. What are you going to do? Anywho, moving forward to the second half, third quarter, Zion starts the second half with his finger in a splint. Keegan hits back-to-back threes. Keegan grabs a big-time rebound off a Domas missed free throw, which led to an HB reverse layup. Trey hits a three. Fox makes a floater near the end of the quarter. Pels up 98-89. Fourth quarter, Pels make a huge run. They go back up 20 with 6 minutes to go. Keegan hits back-to-back threes again. Lead is cut to 12. Keegan hits another three. Kings make a little run, but it wasn't enough. Pels run away with it, 135-123. Naeem and Elizabeth, thoughts?
It's just that third quarter, like, the Kings cut it to, like, 2 points, and you're like, okay, like, they can come back and win this and everything. But it just seemed like every single time the Kings cut into the Pelicans' lead, Zion Williamson was right there just bullying, absolutely bullying his way to the either to the free throw line or just making a layup. Like, we had zero answer for him. And CJ McCollum, it seems like we never have an answer for CJ McCollum. And he has made it well known that the Kings passing up on him. Basically, he reminds us that it was not the smartest idea to do this. And I'm sure he's feeling great tonight as well after it seems like a career. I don't even know. In threes, it's probably a career high. But yeah, it was just, I like that the Kings, like, you know, they fought until the very end, like made it a 9-point game, 8-point game with 2 minutes to go. Like, you like to see that, even if, like, the game was probably already won by the Pelicans, but it's good to see that they still had some effort. It sucks we're down, like, you know, like you said, Malik and Kevin. So we're gonna, our normal shooters aren't there. And, like, Domas is struggling a little bit because, like, he played a lot of DHO with Kevin and Malik. So definitely missing that a lot, but yeah, I mean, after, like, we're guaranteed a play-in spot now. We cannot play for the sixth seed, a guaranteed spot in the playoffs. So all you can do is, like, try to win out these two games. And if you don't, either way, you're going to be in the play-in and try to make the playoffs that way. So we'll see what the Kings have in store tomorrow and Sunday. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to see it. You know, Keegan kind of getting going late, you know, making some shots. Hopefully that'll, you know, carry over in tomorrow because we're definitely going to need that. I mean, it's just, you know, they fight so hard, you know, to get back in the first half and then they get to within 2 points in that third quarter. And then just whatever it is with CJ, I mean, like, I get it, you know, he has the vendetta that we didn't draft him, but, like, he actually has to hit those shots. So the fact that he fucking hit 9 threes tonight, I was just like, oh, this is so sickening. And then Zion just doing what Zion does is just the bully ball. I mean, getting to the basket, having his way with no matter who was matched up against him. I mean, just is unfortunate. But I like the fight and the guys. I mean, they tried, but unfortunately just we don't have enough fire, you know, power on offense. So if we can't, you know, stop anything with our defense, then it's just going to be really hard, you know, to keep ourselves in the game. So I mean, I felt like there was multiple guys that contributed tonight, but again, it just wasn't enough. So they have to, you know, erase this. And if they win these next two games, then, you know, it's a better scenario, because then we'll, you know, we can stay in the seventh or eighth, you know, scenario. So we only have to win one game to get in the playoffs, not two. Yeah, because right now we want to avoid that 9-10, because you have to win two games if you're in that 9-10. And that's just a really difficult thing to do, especially if you have to go on the road. So, yeah, just a bummer. I mean, it's, you kind of put yourself in this position when you lose certain games. But then again, you also put yourself in a better position, because you do hold tiebreakers over teams like the Lakers and the Warriors. So that's a benefit of this whole situation. So if you can control your own destiny, you win these next two games, then you finish, you know, either in the seventh or eighth seed, which is, again, better than being in the ninth or the tenth seed. So, yeah, just hopefully tomorrow's going to be tough, because you're on a back-to-back. You know, you have Phoenix coming in. They're obviously going to be hungry. You know, they have the firepower that they do on offense with Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Grayson Allen, guys like that. Eric Gordon, who seems to fucking always cook us too. So yeah, just whatever they got to do, rinse this one in the fucking trash, get some rest, do what you got to do, and hopefully come out swinging tomorrow.
100%. It's going to take a Herculean effort for these last two games. The fact that the Pels barely dropped off in the 3-point shooting, I was hoping they would do a Kings from the other game against the Thunder, where the Kings shot really well in the first half and then fell off in the second half. That did not happen to the Pelicans. They shot 57% from three in the first half and ended up shooting 55. So anytime that happens and they have one of those season high shooting nights, you're probably going to lose. Having people like CJ and Zion also does not help, especially when both go on a heater. So it was actually pretty ridiculous. Naima, good points about missing Malik and Herter, not only with their shooting, but again, you mentioned their two-man game with Domas, which is how he generates points every game. Like we always said, when it comes to the two-man game between Malik and Domas, it's an easy 6 to 8 points right there. So it is what it is. On to the next, as they say. Shout out everyone who's here. And you're not being little bitch babies shitting on the team on the timeline. I appreciate that. So we're going to open up the mics. Get in here if you want to talk. And I can't say this enough, because he's everybody's favorite player to shit on, HB. Glad he had a good game. Glad he had a very efficient 22 points. I love it when free throw merchant HB shows up. And that definitely is a tool that we could use to win games. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, and you could either blame him or you blame the other players or the coaches or the scheme at the time, we should spam it more often. Seriously, free throw merchant HB is a good thing, and he certainly helped, and I'm glad he stepped up. Unfortunately, you know, our bench did not. Shout out Keegan Murray again for shooting 50% from three. He made five threes, and you know, he made some timely threes near the end. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough. So I'm glad everyone is in here ready to speak. Keith, what's happening, man?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, Daly, it's going to be one of those nights, so just get prepared. Just smoked the loss blunt. Didn't foresee myself at the beginning of training camp smoking a loss blunt after a back-breaking loss to the Pels. Good evening, everybody. We're thankful that everyone stood on here. Very depressing night, but alas, we vent and we mourn and we go forward. A lot to talk about here. For starters, I just want to make this point clear. King's Twitter at times can be a very toxic place, can be a very crazy place. Everyone's passionate about the team. I understand that. We're all fans at the end of the day. Hopefully, you know, I've seen a couple of jokes, and I'm not one to, like, you know, not hit the joke button on this app, but hopefully we can all agree the person who threw that chicken wing or chicken wings, if it was plural, on the court, total unclassy move, jackass. That should not be allowed. Hopefully that person is banned from the arena for the rest of the year if they were able to find that person. That is not a good representation of our fan base. That is just a person being a moron. So hopefully that person is done for the rest of the year, because that is just awful. You shouldn't be doing that, period, no matter if the Kings win or lose. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. Now to the game, the thing that matters most. Listen, we can go over the whole thing about Herter being out. And if anything, maybe this stretch teaches us that we need to desperately sign Malik to a big deal, given the production off the bench, which is, you know, Trey has done his thing, and Davion's taking leaps with the scoring, clearly, and even Sasha knocked down a couple of buckets tonight. But listen, the bench goes through Malik, and it's just as simple as that. Hopefully this shows us how much we need to re-sign Malik Monk and use our resources to just all systems go and try to get him back in a Kings uniform for the next couple of years with this core. But the fact is the fact. You have who you have. You were down plus 20 to the Pels. Great basketball team. I mean, obviously, they've beaten us five straight times. You cut the lead to six. What gets me, though, is that, like, and I'm not trying to make excuses for anybody. This team has dragged ass all year. It's been inconsistent all year. The defensive intensity has come and gone. This is the 13th team, according to Frankie, that they've given up 130-plus points to during the year. The defense has been ass with Herter and Monk, and it's been ass without Herter and Monk for a majority of the season. So are we really that surprised? Not really. Second thing is, like you mentioned, I mean, there's some things you just can't plan for, and McCollum just caught fire, and it's one of those things in basketball where, hey, a guy has a heater going, he has the heater going. But, I mean, Zion, again, give him his fucking dues. Peak physical shape, probably the best shape he's been in, arguably you could say since high school. I don't know. But there was just nobody that could guard him. But, again, it comes down to the fact that this team, once again, when it mattered most, when it was time to nut the fuck up and dig deep, the game is right there for the taking. You're battling all night. Once again, this team, which all year last year, had that motivation, that drive, that grit about them to finish all 48 minutes. Once again, this team showed us this is not the same team as last year. It is not the same team as last year that had that grind mentality, that wanted to prove something. And I hate to say it, man, because I wanted to be wrong, but I come on here tonight and I tell it to you like it is. This team is not the same team as it was last year. It doesn't have that tenacity, that grit, that will to win. It's lacking in that department. And maybe they took a step back as far as, like, thinking this was just going to be easy again. You could point to the West being healthy and them not being healthy, but this team has lacked something all year. And if you can't find it after three or four player meetings, I'm sorry, you just can't find it. And it is what it is at this point, man. And so, listen, a lot of people are going to talk about this year and they're going to say, you know, Monty, he stood pat at the deadline. We said at the beginning of the year, if this team is going to take a step back because they decided to run the whole thing back, we're going to find out. Took a gamble, ran it back. It didn't work out. But the last thing I want to say is, and I've been victim to this as well, shout the fuck out Harrison Barnes, man, because this season has not been easy for Barnes. The fan base, not the whole fan base, but a majority of the fan base has just loved the shit on him. And it was good to finally see him be one of the most productive players tonight. It is what it is. We're in the play-in now, so can't really talk about the sixth seed anymore. You play Phoenix, you let the cards drop where they may, but not really surprised. This team has lost the drive from last year, and hopefully whatever happens down the road, you go into this offseason, you can hopefully get Monk back, you get healthier, and you get improvements. But, hey, we're in the play-in. It's better than being 30 and 52 like the last fucking 15 years of my life, so can't really complain. These things happen. I'd rather be over 500 than be a garbage team at the end of the day. Light the beam. Turn the fucking Jets on.
Right on, Keith. And thank you, as always, for dropping jewels and coming in here. I appreciate that. However, I will say, this year, the whole Western Conference is on roids. It's like they took roids over the summer, and every team came back that much better. the fact that even the 10th seed is a few games over 500. The fact that we have the Rockets out of the play-in at 11, but they're still a good team, just tells you how much the competition in the Western Conference has raised up. So, yeah, we could say this team lost the drive from last season, and I know there's a lot of fans that believe that last year's team is better than this year's team. And, yeah, I get it. We could say that vibes matter. Maybe they do. But, yeah, it's just tougher this year, period. And, yeah, we did run it back. And the scouting report on the Kings is so much deeper than it was last year. Catching people by surprise was truly a factor last year in their success. So we have to admit that. I'm just saying. David, what's happening?
Hey, yeah. Obviously, it sucks that we lost this game. It's hard to beat a team when they shoot over 50% from three, as like you talked about. And the Pelicans just have our number, kind of like how we have the Lakers number. They have our number. So it sucks. At the end of the day, though, like going in at this point, I know we all have talked about that we kind of expected the team to be in the play-in. So it doesn't really change that to me. I think that, like, obviously, you now have two really big games that you really want to get that Suns game. I think they can. I think we match up better against the Suns and the Pelicans. Well, to be fair, I think we match up against everyone better than the Pelicans to some degree. So it's just, that's just one of those matchups that just so unfavors us right now, especially with us missing both Herter and Monk. And it does suck that, like, if Monk was available, we probably have a couple more wins, maybe not in this game, but like some of the other games we've lost would have gone our way. So we'd be in a better position, but you are where you are. The one thing I'll add is that, like, the season's not over. I feel like the talk of, like, you know, this proves X, Y, Z. We're going to find out, I think, a lot about this team in this play-in and in the, ideally, I think, in the playoffs when they get there. Because, like, we talk about how this game's big or this game big, but there is no such thing as a you must win game except for, you know, elimination games. So they're going to have at least one play-in game. Hopefully they win that one. Hopefully they're in the 8th seed or 7th seed. Hopefully they're there. I think we have a pretty decent chance of beating the Suns and then a really, really great chance of beating Portland, obviously. And so you win those two games, you guarantee 8 at minimum, possibly 7. And then hopefully you win that and then face the Timberwolves or OKC or whoever's there and see if you can, like, win that series. But, like, yeah, that's what we're going to see. It sucks that we lost this game. It sucks how we played this game, but these guys have shown they can respond well. So I think they will, and we'll see what they do.
Thanks, David. I appreciate it. Yeah. I give the Kings roughly around 50% to beat any team. You never know what happens. You know me, I'm a big fan of variance. So you never know if the Kings go on a heater or the other team shoots poorly. You never really know. I do think that the Suns are rolling right now and they are a second half team, and the Kings sometimes are, sometimes they're not. And we'll see. It's really 50-50. I have no idea how they're going to go against the Suns. And we don't even know how they're going to go against the Trailblazers. We could say, oh, well, the Trailblazers are a lesser team and whatnot, but they always play the Kings tough. This is going to be a crazy gauntlet, these last two games, for sure. Serial, what's happening, man?
What's up, Daly? I'm going to push back a little bit on the whole, because I see a lot of people saying this over the last couple months about the Western Conference getting better. And not to say that they haven't, but part of that whole evolution of the Western Conference getting better, the Kings are supposed to be a year better. That experience, that 7-game series is supposed to help make them better. There were players that we wanted to see get better that either standard pack, maybe like Keegan, we wanted to see, I think Keegan got better to an extent, and there were some things that regressed, right? Like defensively, he's gotten better. Some of the offense slipped at times. He's been inconsistent this year. I think a lot of us wanted to see a bigger jump, whether that's realistic or not. We didn't see that, and that was part of the whole standing pat with this team and seeing what they were, right? But yeah, I would push back a little bit just because of that. They should have been better too. So while the Western Conference grew, the Kings should have grew also. And unfortunately, they didn't. They either regressed in some ways or stood pat while everybody else grew. And here we are, right? I don't point any fingers at Monty. Like, I understood what it was, but I would be sitting here lying if I didn't say at the end of last year, like, that was kind of like, you know, like, that was, what do you call it, in a bottle. Like, you weren't, there's no way your health was going to be the way it was last year. There was no way you were going to shoot at that torrid rate like they did last year. We had to have known that there was going to be some regressions here and there, and some peaks and valleys, right? So I don't know. I think some of that, I understand why some Kings fans are frustrated that he stand pat. I don't think everybody expected him to go out and get like the biggest players, but I think we wanted to see at least a couple players brought in, even if it was bench wise or shoring up certain positions to be able to deal with things like Monk getting hurt and Herter going out. And yeah, I'm not sure you would have found another two guard, but because that's two guards, and that's a pretty heavy hit to take. But there was other positions that could have fortified to make up for some of that scoring, right? Where we stood pat. And this is where we're at now. Because for me, like, not that I don't care what they do in the playoffs, but two-folded for me. One, I personally would love to see the Warriors again, because I'm always of the belief of the whole old school Pistons and Bulls. Like, look, man, at some point you got to beat your demons. So bring them. Bring them on. Let's beat them. And if that's the last, not quote unquote, series or game that we win and we lose in a series, there's something good about that. There's a good feeling about that going into the offseason, that that's at least the one thing we did, is we beat that stupid team from the Bay, and now we can move on and improve, right? And it's a little like tip of the cap. It might not be everything, but I'll take it. So I'm always of the belief, like, I'm not scared to play anybody. I don't care if we play the Pelicans again, whoever it is. Whoever's in front of you at this point, that's who you play, man. Like, you don't have many – there's not much of your destiny you control at this point. So wherever they put there, you go into that game and say, I'm going to beat the living crap out of them, right? And the whole thing with, like, the 20-point – like, I get it. It's hard to come back from a 20-point deficit and get over that hump. But other teams have done it. We've had 20-point leads and lost that and watched other teams get over the hump. So, I mean, for me, like, I knew the hand was going up, but that's a non-factor for me at this point at the end of the year. You've been through this. You've lost 20-point leads. You've had 20-point leads. Like, bro, you got to play through that. And I don't care who's on the other side of that. Like, you put yourself in that hole. So let's go. Because even at the end, when I saw Keegan hit those couple of threes, I was like, man, you're just basically giving me blue balls. Like, this is some bullshit. Like, you're going to fucking bring it to, like, eight points, and you're just going to fucking – you're only going to let me get to second base, and here we go. Man, I'm going home again, making that walk of shame home. Like, you're not going to overcome it. Like, I already know this, because your defense can't hold. We know the defense can't hold. And some of that, yes, is losing players and all that, but it's like, at that point, man, this is what it is. And I'm not even, like – I'm not, like – angry at the team, because I see the effort there. Like, that's one thing I will say. I do see the effort. I do see, like, you know, that they're playing hard, and some of it is their ammunition's not there. You know, I get it, but it's obviously still frustrating to see, because, again, like, at the end of the day, man, I just want to win the playoff game, that play-in game, so at this point we don't lose that the draft pick thing. Like, that's at this point the biggest thing. So it's like, I don't know, man. It's frustrating to see. I get it. Like, I get the, I mean, like, again, I get the, we're down players. I get all that. But I still feel like in my heart, like, I'm watching these games, like, you can win these games. Like, these aren't unwinnable games. They're not that much better than you. Like, if you make the right moves, if you do this, if you do that, you're fine. Like, but I continuously get into these, like, quarter holes where it's like, we're just disappear for a quarter at a time. Or we're barely hanging on a thread. And that's the part that gets me, is that part. So But man, I'm, you know, watching these games, I'm still going to be yelling loudly. And man, let's just get that one play in win, man, and call it a day.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's go for it. Well, actually, thank you, Serial, as always. I do love your final boss theory with the Dubs being the Rock in this scenario. So I love me some pro wrestling narratives like that. Yeah, it would make a good story if we could actually beat up our big brother to get into the playoffs. That would be interesting. And it would be acceptable. Whereas if we were to play the Lakers and then lose, even though we swept them this season, that would hurt a lot more. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, man. But I'm all about the final boss theory. What's up?
I'm not trying to get LeBron and the refs in any playing game.
Oh, like, you already know.
That's a no-win situation at all. That's a no-win.
Yeah, that is an uphill battle for sure. Yeah, appreciate you, man. And Liz, go for it, and then bye, Reed.
So I'm going to ask you, Serial, because, you know, you said the team has regressed, and I do understand that, but they've also gotten better in ways, because defensively, like, we're what I think like 15th overall for the whole season, which we didn't even crack the top 20, I don't think, at all last season. So defensively we've gotten better. And then I'm going to push back too on the, you know, like these other teams, like we'll have a big lead, but these other teams have more offensive firepower than the Kings do at this current moment. Like, you look at the Knicks. Yeah, we went up, you know, what, 21 points against the Knicks. But they have Jalen Brunson, who just has been absolutely on a heater this entire season. You have Dante DiVincenzo, who's been absolutely killer from the from three this season. You have Josh Hart, who can get going at any time. So these teams, like the OKC, they have guys that can get going too. The Kings, unfortunately, really don't have that guy that can go on an absolute heater outside of, like, really Fox at this point, because you lose Malik Monk, who would be that other guy. You have no Kevin Huerter, who could potentially be that other guy. Like, Keegan, yes, he could potentially do it, but as of late, he hasn't shown us that he's been able to get on that heater. So, yeah, these other teams, I think, have more offensive firepower than us at this point in the season, unfortunately, because of the injuries that we've incurred. But I will say our defense has been definitely stepping up, especially since the All-Star break and the month of March. I think we had a really, really good month of March on the defensive end that helped win us a lot of games. So it's just right now it's coming down to it. Like, the offensive firepower for us is just unfortunately not there, because guys are not consistently stepping up when we need them to, you know, outside of a couple guys every night. You know, Sabonis sometimes goes missing for a night, and you know, we can't really like shit on him because he's really been like the fully consistent king this entire season. But if Jonas Valanciunas can fucking shoot that mid-range, Sabonis can absolutely get that mid-range game going. Like, the fact that Valanciunas like sunk like a few of those tonight, like, there's no reason why Sabonis can't do that on a fucking daily, like a nightly basis. Like, it's insane to me. So Sabonis needs to figure it out and be more aggressive from the mid-range. I'd rather him take mid-range and miss than just pass him up and not care at all. Because, again, with Malik and Huerter out, we need him to step up. And unfortunately, tonight he had a great game, but against OKC, he was absolutely non-existent in that game. I think he just let the team, you know, OKC dictate what he was doing, and he just looked hesitant to do anything offensively. And ultimately, I think that's what ended up costing the team a win.
Well, I don't disagree with that narrative. My only issue with that is when you're talking about like the Knicks and you're talking about like OKC, yes, their ability to come with their roster and their ability to play the way they play is indicative of how they come back. But when I watch these games, at the end of those games, when they've had those comebacks and we've lost. I've never sat there and been like, man, they just, those guys just came to play. It was like, through that whole time that they were making those runs, y'all were just jagging off shots. Like, it wasn't, like, I get it. The team is built around shooting those shots. But if you know your two of your most, like, your biggest shooters are gone, like, I'd rather see you go to the hole and get your stuff pinned on the backboard. I'd rather see your stuff get thrown into the third row of the stands. And I'd rather see you take those bumps and not get calls. And then I'll sit there at the end of the game and be like, okay, man, y'all gave it everything, but it just wasn't in the cards. But when you are like, and it's not even just do that, because KC tried to call me out. I was like, no, bro, like, I'm not saying just go the hole, but mix it up. Because these teams are coming every game, and their game plan is let them shoot the three. They can't sustain it for four quarters. And then Mike Brown's plan is, hey, shoot the three. You can sustain it for four quarters. Well, you're playing into their hands. Like, at some point, when you see five shots in a row not go down, for two shots, go to the hole. Make them play honest. Make them, you might not get the calls. You might get it thrown into the third row. It might get pinned on the backboard. Whatever it is, but at least you're making them play honest and have to second guess what your next move is. What you guys are doing is just jagging up threes left and right, left and right, left and right, left and right. It's like, bro, you're cold now. Do something else. Like, even if that doesn't work, at least you're doing something else. And at the end of those games, I'm sitting there like, bro, you played into their hands. It's not so much that that team was better than you or had a better roster than you. It's you played right into what they wanted you to do. So that, for me, is the part. Like, I agree that those rosters are more stacked. It's just, if you know that and you know you're down, guys, do something different. It might not work, but this ain't working either. So what the hell? Throw it up, throw caution into the wind and do something else. But again, like, I'm not, like you said, like, they lost, guys. I'm not like too mad about it. It is frustrating. But again, man, like you said, like, let's do what we can for the next couple of games. Let's get this playing game in. And we get that one victory, I think all of us will be sitting here in a sigh of relief and be like, cool. Going into the offseason, Monty, you know what you need to do. Let's go.
And Byrie, I'm sorry, I got one more point to add. I mean, and people really downplay the improvement of the Western Conference. Just considering that the fact the Kings were in the third spot last year with only 48 wins, and this year's team that's in the third place has 55 wins, says everything. The competition is that much better. That is, if not a major factor. But really, is this team really that sorry? They're a 45-win team with two games left. So that's only a three-game difference in the win column so far. And if they win out, it'll only be one game difference. Maybe they win one and lose one. That's a two-game difference. So it's like people are acting like they fell off in their trash now, and that's just not true. Seriously, I do believe that the competition in the Western Conference is a key factor in what happened this year. And then, Byrie, my question for you is, biggest need over the summer to take us maybe to the second round, maybe to the Western Conference semifinals?
I'm sure there's like a lot of answers to that question, but first thing that comes to my mind is just getting another piece. So hopefully we re-sign Monk, but I think our biggest need would be to get another piece down low next to Sabonis. That's all. Whatever, yeah. however that looks.
Yeah, we need a literally 6'9 or 6'10 self creator. And Keegan will be better next year. We'll be able to actually let him ISO every now and then, depending on who he's matched up with, right? But yeah, we need another option, and then hopefully Domas increases his bag so we could just kind of throw it to him too, and he could create his own offense. For sure. You know how he's hitting threes this year? Like, literally, they're set shots. Maybe he learns how to hit a motion three off the dribble. Is that too much to ask? I mean, Jokic does it all the time. Not. He needs to work on that. And then
Sabonis is capable. He's a capable shooter, like, for sure. Like, when he's open, like, especially at the free throw line extended area and even closer in, he could make that shot. I believe he can make that shot. You know what I mean? Like, even like some of his threes, that, like, he'll get an open three because they'll stack so far off of him, and then he'll be just looking for his options. Why don't he just, like, get in his pocket and just launch it, man. I think he should do more of that. I don't mind Sabonis being more aggressive offensively at all, even if he misses all his shots. Like, just be confident. Don't second guess anything. Just play your game. He's so good and he can do everything. Sometimes players who can do everything get lost, like, in the sauce and don't, like, you know what I mean? They don't focus in on the game in the right way, kind of. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, but I think, yeah, we just need to get somebody who could play alongside him, because I think De'Aaron has all his pieces, especially if we sign, re-sign Monk. He'll have Keon, Monk, and maybe, I don't know if Herder will be, I don't know. But I feel like De'Aaron has his complementary pieces out on the wing and everything. But I think Domas needs somebody. He needs a partner in crime, like, down low.
Yeah, for sure, man. We'll see. Monty has some work to do, definitely. And then are we totally satisfied? And I know we're trying to get out of here, but are we totally satisfied with Keon at the two? Do we want a little bit of a bigger, just as athletic two guard to go along with De'Aaron, considering Keon and De'Aaron are still a short backcourt?
It's all dependent. You know, I love what Keon does defensively, but it all is going to be kind of dependent on what he can start to do offensively. Because if he can give you consistent minutes and be aggressive on the offensive end, then he'd be okay at that spot. But he needs to learn, you know, kind of the when to take shots, when to be aggressive. Because sometimes he's super hesitant, because you see the spurts of him doing that, like against OKC, you know, he did it really well. And obviously he was hitting everything, so that also helped. But even if he's not, he's still, you know, pulling those kinds of shots. So, I mean, I think there was a point in tonight's game where he, I think, got the steal, drove down, and then he went, you know, for the layup, made the layup, and then the Pelicans called a timeout. He's walking to the bench and Mike Brown kind of pulled him aside. I don't know if he was telling him he should have passed that, or if there was like another shot earlier that he should have, you know, taken. But I think it's all going to be dependent on how aggressive he starts to be on the offensive end and when that kind of starts to click. And it's all dependent on too, you know, what we do in the offseason. If Kevin Herter is going to be on this team next year, or if Kevin Herter is not going to be on this team next year. You know, so there's many, many things that kind of fall into that. But I think Keon is definitely capable of being, you know, that starting two guard moving forward. But again, he has to learn how to be aggressive on the offensive end consistently and not be afraid, you know, to kind of start getting his when it's available.
And Byrie, and thank you for that, Liz. I agree with everything you said. And Byrie, I think the best comp for Keon, to me, what I hope he becomes, is a KCP for us. And I think whatever he did in that Oklahoma City game, if he could just do 40% of that, average 10 to 12 a game, take like 10 shots a game, continue his defensive efforts, that's everything. That'll help us out a lot.
Yeah, I like Keon. I really do. I like him a lot. I like him as a starter. You know, he's just getting his feet wet pretty much, especially with the Herter injury. And that question that you asked, that, you know, kind of lends itself to another question. And that question is, should Keon have started over Herter? Even if Herter was healthy, should Keon still be the starter? And I think that question wouldn't have been answered if Herter was healthy. But I think that, yes, he should be the starter over Herter for sure. And Keon, I think he's doing the best that he can do. And I say that because Mike Brown's offense doesn't seem guard friendly. And we've seen that because Davion, he's had such an up and down kind of consistency where it just doesn't seem like the system lends itself to freedom for playmakers. If that makes any sense.
I think it does when it comes to Fox and Monk. I think they could totally freelance. They have the green light to do whatever they want, especially exactly. When they're on the floor together.
Yeah, and the others don't have that. So for Keon to come in and kind of work himself in I think he's doing a great job. I wouldn't mind him being a starter next season. I think he is amazing defensively. I think he does things on the defensive end that no other players really do. You don't really see players do that often. Like, he does, his defensive IQ is off the charts. I think he is capable offensively. Like Elizabeth just said, I think he's capable. He needs to play better offensively, of course, but I think he is capable of playing better offensively. It just needs to all come together for him. He's just kind of getting his feet wet, like I said. So I think if he's given more of an opportunity, he'll pay off for us. And I love him at the two. I love him at the two spot. And he can handle the ball. He could defend. He could shoot at times. He's capable of shooting. He's capable of sometimes the ball ends up in his hands when the shot clock's going down. Like, somehow it just ends up in his hands and he has to chuck up bad shots. And that's not his fault all the time, but you can see that his teammates trust him in those situations. Like, shot clock's going down, let me just kick it to Keon. Maybe he could do something with it. They trust him because he is capable. So that might not be his role at the moment, but I think there's so much potential with him at the two. And I think he is the right choice. And I think defensively, he just brings something to the table that very few players could bring.
And now his defensive intangibles are incredible. His feel for the game defensively is pretty great. I totally agree with you. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Would I like a bigger player if we could find a 6'7" Keon to put in there? I would love that. But we would either have to develop them or find that person. I don't know who that is. But yeah, if it's Keon next year, I'm totally fine with that. You guys are the best. Naima and Elizabeth, any last words?
No, I mean, just on tomorrow. I mean, hopefully, you know, it's going to be tough. Hopefully they can pull out, you know, a much needed win, because at this point they control their destiny to, you know, lock themselves in the, you know, seventh or eighth seed. So, I mean, just do whatever you can. Get these guys rested up. You know, it's going to be a tough game, but I know the crowd will bring it. So hopefully, you know, the players can, you know, also bring it tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, like, you just have to come out, like, with effort. You do not want to start the game off like you did tonight. So just, you know, playing freely, but more so, like, you know, playing focus and understanding. Like, you don't want to end the season on a loss regardless. So, and it's going to be extremely important to win these next two games, and it's going to be hard. So just understanding that, and, like, you know, if you play hard and you lose, okay, but if you play with lackluster effort and stuff like that, then, you know, it just puts a sour taste in your mouth, and you don't want that to end the season, especially going into the play-in. So hopefully they can come out tomorrow night and get this win and, you know, follow it up on Sunday.
Right on, Naima. And now that Ramadan is over, are you going to be able to focus on Cowboy Carter this weekend?
Absolutely.
All right. I look forward to that discussion.
Definitely.
For sure. Good. You guys are the best, man. Thank you for coming through, especially after a shitty loss. The season is not over, and we got some games to go. And we are going to have a postseason game. Hopefully, it's that golden one, so we could show out one last time if they do lose, or maybe they win, and then we have more playoff games here in Sacramento. And that's going to be a beautiful thing as well. So we appreciate everyone coming through. Good day, good night, and light the beam.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.